You are listening to the Atlanta Real Estate Forum radio show, Around Atlanta Edition, showcasing the best of Metro Atlanta, our communities, the attractions, and the special events that make Atlanta great. Welcome to our virtual town square. And now, here are today's hosts.
Good morning and welcome back to the Around Atlanta Edition. I am your host, Todd Schnick, joined by my friend and colleague, Carol Morgan. Good morning, Carol. We've had this lady on the show before. Learn an awful lot from her. Always enjoy our conversations.
I think we're going to learn even more today and then try to help some of our audience keep their financial resolutions.
Well, that's part of our gist for the January episodes here is to help our fitness and our keeping our resolutions. And we got to work with our financial fitness as well. So that's why we extend an invitation to Kristen to be back on the show. Kristen Frix-Roman, good to see you again. Thanks for joining us again.
Thank you. Appreciate being back.
It's always good to see you. You are a financial advisor and senior vice president at Morgan Stanley Wealth Management Atlanta. So great to have you again. Our audience is obviously familiar with Morgan Stanley, but if you could just for a quick second, give us a quick overview of what you guys are all about.
Well, Morgan Stanley Wealth Management is a global leader, and we provide access to a wide range of products, and we service individuals, businesses, institutions, and we work in the brokerage and investment advisory services, financial and wealth planning, cash management, lending products, and insurance products.
Outstanding.
What don't they do?
Probably the easier question to ask.
Yeah, well, let's just dive right into it. What sorts of financial resolutions do people typically make?
They usually are trying to better themselves. I think at the end of the year, especially when we come up to holiday spending, they're a little cash-strapped, perhaps, and they're concerned about family coming in. And so they are looking at doing some financial resolutions. And it seems that the first one on their mind, they'll say that they want to improve their budget. But honestly, I've found a lot of people don't have a budget.
No, they don't. Most people I'm familiar with do not. They don't understand that. Or they overcomplicate it, and then they get frustrated and stop, right?
Well, they do, but they just don't understand what they're spending money on. And, you know, part of the financial planning work that I do, it is, well, how much money do you spend and what do you spend it on? And we get these wide-eyed looks like, I'm not really sure. So it's looking at, you know, what money comes in and what money goes out and then prioritizing it. So figuring out what it is that it needs to be what money needs to be put aside and what money can be spent and being comfortable with it, I think.
A favorite story of mine is my wife was telling me a story about how she helped her younger brother who was just getting out of college and into the professional world. She was helping him come up with a budget. And he went through it all. And she says, well, you're missing the most important element here. He's like, no, this is perfect. It's down to the perfect dollar. She goes, you're forgetting your taxes. That's a common problem too, I suspect.
It is. And interestingly, I've asked people lately, you know, how do they know that they're successful? How do you know that your plan is working? And I have had several people answer that they're able to have discretionary spending. So you'll see a lot of times budgets will say, you know, if you go up for that cup of coffee, it's $3. So maybe if you don't do that, you could save money. But it's really backwards in their thoughts. It is, I need to figure out my spending, my savings plan, my debt coverage, and then I want a certain amount of discretionary income that I don't have to worry about going out for that cup of coffee, and then they feel successful.
Fascinating.
We teach our kids a lot of things in school. We teach them how to read and write, but you know, the big thing that to me has always been missing is finances. How do you teach your children to have healthy spending habits and you know, any ideas for that so that they can, as they, you know, go into college and come out of college, you know, meet their financial resolutions?
They follow what their parents do. So being a parent, the best thing you can do is show by example of not being worried about money, of creating plans for what you're going to do. For instance, you know later on in the year that you're going to be purchasing a car. Well, are you going to be financing it? We need to put the plans together now. And also starting young to be able to to show them that if they work, you can have an allowance, not just to give it to them for perhaps doing nothing, but it's a reward system. And then a lot of times schools are teaching somewhat financial planning in a limited way, but there are programs online. Morgan Stanley, in fact, has a program that you can ask your financial advisor, and they'll be glad to send that information to you. There are classes for seniors, even in college.
Oh, wow.
I guess some other resolutions that people make with regard to their finances are, you know, becoming more informed about their investments and or in learning how to invest their money and thinking about contributions to their retirement accounts. I mean, those are things they talk big about around the holidays, yeah?
Well, they do, but they also, one of my big, I think, challenges I have is making sure that you share that information about your finances with your family.
Yep.
I have a family member who passed away this past year. No siblings, no family at all. And so the cousins have had to come in and take care of things. Well, this is like a family relative. I mean, it's the fact that you see them at Christmas and Thanksgiving, but you don't ever see them otherwise. How are you supposed to go into their home when they passed away and figure out what they have?
So
It's you've got to be able to write it down, you know, and talk to people about your finances, especially if you live alone, to be able to share. Do I have a safety deposit box? Are all my bills paid online? Who are my beneficiaries? And that needs to be shared. And some people are, you know, hold things close to the chest. They don't really want to let other people know what they have, but you need to share it with someone.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, both Todd and I have lost our fathers in the last year. And, you know, mine lived by himself, but he'd had a heart condition. He'd had it for years. So when he went on his last big trip, he handed my brother an envelope. And he said, here's this just in case. My brother's like, just in case of what? Daddy's like, you know, you never know. Nothing's a guarantee in life. And your daddy made it back from that trip and was fine. But about a month later, he died. And David still had the envelope. And he had put on a flash drive or a jump drive this giant spreadsheet of every single account he had and all the passwords to get into it. So, you know, you don't necessarily have to give someone the complete keys to the kingdom, but maybe you put that flash drive in your safety deposit box and tell them at least where the key to your safety deposit box is. So you leave them a, you know, breadcrumbs trail, right?
Or even that you have a safety deposit box would be nice to know.
Exactly.
Well, you know, and that's what I'm dealing with. I'm still finding little bank accounts that my dad has and that I didn't know about, you know?
Uh-huh.
And so, I mean, it's a very common problem, I suspect. And it's not, sometimes it's not ill intention, but that ability to communicate to your family. I mean, how many marriages struggle with financial problems?
Gosh.
Well, the biggest issue, I think, really is not that there's actual financial problems, is that they're just not talking about it.
That's right. Mm-hmm. That's right.
So
financial resolution, sit down once a year and spread the joy of the financial plan and make it fun.
Well, Carol and I can both speak from experience. So those conversations really yield dividends, no pun intended.
Mm-hmm.
When the time comes when there's an emergency situation, you need to get a handle on things. So those conversations are critical. All right, Kristen, Carol, and I will return after this short break. We'll be right back.
For many of us, buying a home is the largest purchase we will ever make in our lifetime. So it's important to know that the home you buy will be comfortable, easy to maintain, and energy efficient throughout the year. And that's exactly why Jackson EMC introduced the Right Choice program. Right Choice homes are built from the ground up by industry-leading builders and guaranteed to provide both comfort and energy savings. I'm home expert Ty Pennington. Make sure you watch my video at jacksonemc.com and find out why a Right Choice home is the right choice for you.
All right, we're back with Kristen Frix-Roman with Morgan Stanley.
So, Kristen, I know one of the things that I always focus on is how can I maximize my contribution to my retirement fund? So, because, you know, clearly someday I'd like to retire. So what advice do you have for those of us that have that as a financial goal?
Well, most of us, if we're working, have some sort of retirement plan. It's like a 401k plan, 403b or 457. And just to give an update for next year, the maximum contribution, if you're below 50, is $18,500. And then there's a catch up with $6,000. The easiest thing is to have the money come out before you even see it.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't have a retirement plan, if you work with a 401k plan provider, if you're doing it on your own, for instance, and not through a company plan, so that would be for someone that owns their business, or if an IRA account or a Roth account, to have it directly debited out of your checking account. But again, try to do that before you see it.
That's
and
the key.
Spend it.
In
yes.
my personal experience, that's the key to it.
Mm-hmm.
Another resolution people make is building up an emergency fund. Mm-hmm. My wife and I just celebrated our fifth anniversary. Around our third anniversary, we had committed to try to build one. And we've been successful at doing that. And I cannot tell you the happiness and the relief and the joy of knowing that emergency fund is there. It's amazing to me how many Americans don't have that. Any thoughts on that?
Well, it's funny that when you have that emergency fund, and it's usually 5 to 9 months worth of income. So if you lost your job or you have a major car repair, a lot of it's, you know, medical and dental. Part of the Affordable Health Care Act is that the policies have such very large out-of-pocket deductibles. And so that has become, that's not supposed to have been necessarily the emergency plan that's supposed to be planned for, but that's what the emergency fund is being used for. Mm-hmm. A lot is when you have surgery, you don't want to postpone it because you don't have the deductible.
Right, mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah, it is kind of crazy how high those deductibles are now.
Mm-hmm.
What about, you know, updating financial documents? What type of documents should I have and how often should they be updated?
Well, that's good because a lot of people don't have the financial documents that they need to update. And I'm always surprised and very concerned when young families do not have wills.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Because part of the will will designate who needs to be in charge of the children if something happens to you. So whether or not your assets, it is definitely your children that should come first, right? But your financial documents are basically handling things that you own, whether it's your house or your boat or your cars. It is your money. It's what do I do with those assets? How do I pass them on to someone else? And what happens if I become incapacitated? So the first thing is a will. The next thing would be what they call a living trust. You might want to put your assets within a trust format so it doesn't go through probate. It goes through a document as to who the beneficiaries are. And then a power of attorney if you become incapacitated, a healthcare power of attorney, and then the beneficiary information on your 401k plans and your IRAs. And just a word of caution, you know, you're talking about the flash drive or writing something down. So often now we are designating our beneficiaries by way of doing it online,
mm-hmm.
but you don't make a record of it. So again, it's harder to pass on. So if you do that, please print it out or put it on a flash drive to be able to have a second copy so mm-hmm. that someone else knows, you know, who the beneficiary is of a particular policy.
And I'm sounding like a broken record here, but I can reiterate the importance of all that because having just gone through losing my father, how valuable it was to have all those materials. And even then, there's complexity to it, you know. So it's hard enough as it is, let alone if you don't have any of that information, you know. So thank goodness you got that envelope.
The envelope was the key to the Golden City. I mean, seriously. And we were very fortunate that, you know, Daddy really didn't have any debt.
Yeah.
But he did own a lot of stuff. So, you know, it's been a 18-month process.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, Kristen, in wrapping this conversation up, we've talked about all the things that people will typically say they want to do, and you walked us through why we should do a lot of these things. What happens? Why do most of us fall short on living up to these financial resolutions that we make every year?
I think we have complicated relationships with our money. It's a strange way to say that, but sometimes it's healthy and sometimes it isn't. Sometimes people come into my office and say, I feel like I'm going to the dentist, not anything against the dentist. But I just thought, well, how painful. I mean, I'm so excited. I love what I do. And then people come in and they have a hard time being there. And they try to do everything at once. I need to find an attorney to do a will. I need to have a budget. I need to update everything. And so if it's just so complicated that you're trying to do everything at once, you just end up not making that first step.
How did we get there? Yeah, we talked earlier about families not talking enough. It's because it's an uncomfortable conversation. How did finances become such a dirty thing? I sometimes wonder, is it because we all look at the income tax process as more like a punitive action on, that we have this negative connotation of money? I mean, is that what it is? I mean, how do we turn that around?
I think there are some people that don't want anybody else to know that they have money or know that they don't have money.
Right.
So they're not really honest about the financial situation that they're in. And I think they feel vulnerable in some ways if somebody defines them by how much they own, that they might be thought of differently.
Yeah.
So we get to the point where it's just, you know, if I'm spending money and at the end of the day, I might have 2 cents left over and I live paycheck to paycheck. I mean, we don't have to live that way. We can make plans. We can decide how much to save. We can adjust our budget and we don't have to feel that, you know, if I lost my job the next day, I would be under the bus and I wouldn't be able to survive. And that doesn't have to be that way.
Well, did I see the statistic that a significant majority of Americans could not tomorrow, if necessary, write a $500 check if they needed it?
I've heard that.
I mean, that's just mind-blowing to me. It goes back to our conversation around this emergency fund. That is the relief that I feel and the confidence and the comfort, knowing that I have a pot of gold sitting in the corner there, that if something happens, I got some coverage. I mean, it just changes everything in terms of your stress level and your worry about these things.
Yes, but then the funny thing about the emergency fund is you don't know when you're having one if you should use it. It's like, is this a bad enough emergency? I should go in an emergency fund.
That's a good
point.
That
becomes a question of that emergency fund should be used and not borrow money to answer some emergency. But we should be able to say, this is an emergency. It's okay. Let's go ahead and use that.
My wife and I set rules. We documented, I think we have like 5 rules. Mm-hmm. If one of the things that we're dealing with is one of these 5 things, we're allowed to use it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what always happens then is the 6th thing happens, right? You're like, all right, now what do I do? But that's a good place to be than to not know the rules or more importantly, not have a fund.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So, gosh, mm-hmm. Well. And here's the other thing, too. I guess I'll give a nice segue into where we're going next. There's a real advantage to having a Kristen that I can call and ask questions about. And most people are afraid to go out there and find someone to just be that voice. Any thoughts on that? And I guess more importantly, I guess some people were afraid, I don't want to hook up with a shyster. How do I find someone who is trustworthy and reliable?
My own clients do come from referrals. Mm-hmm. Somebody knows someone has had a good experience. Sometimes, you know, getting reviews online would help. You know, visiting the certified financial planning website to search for someone. Morgan Stanley has website to go in and look. And then again, I think there's so much online that you can Google someone and see whether or not, you know, they have anything that's positive or negative about them. It's quite amazing that by the time that someone comes in to talk to me, they know so much more about me than I could even imagine because they have done their research.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. No doubt. Well, we're in a seller aware, seller beware marketplace nowadays because they know more about us. All right. Well, Kristen, I hate to say it, we're about out of time. So grateful for you coming in and sharing some thoughts on our financial fitness. So appreciate you doing that. Before I let you go, should anyone have any questions of you about any of these things we discussed, how do they find you and where do they learn more about Morgan Stanley?
Well, I have a website, morganstanleyfa.com/FricksRoman, or you can certainly call me at 404-459-3812.
Kristen Fricks Roman is a financial advisor and senior vice president, Morgan Stanley Wealth Management here in Atlanta. Kristen, as always, great to have you. Thanks again for stopping by.
Thank you for the invitation.
Our pleasure. All right, well, that wraps this week's Around Atlanta edition. Again, on behalf of today's guest, Kristen Fricks Roman, my co-host, Carol Morgan, I am Todd Schnick. We're signing off for now. Thank you for tuning in. Don't worry, though, we'll see you again tomorrow. We'll see you then.
Today's episode was made possible by the Atlanta Real Estate Forum, Atlanta's favorite real estate blog and source for real estate news, trends, new home communities, model homes, builders, and more. Call them at 770-383-3360 or send an email to info@atlantarealestateforum.com. Check out the radio show by visiting atlantarealestateforum.com or by subscribing to the show on iTunes. And if you enjoyed today's broadcast, we'd sure appreciate a rating and review on iTunes. Thank you again for listening, and we'll see you next time on the Atlanta Real Estate Forum radio show.